As you know, there are four different accounts of Jesus' resurrection in our Gospels. Today I will be sharing with you from the Gospel according to John, which is the lectionary passage for today, John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18, and I invite you to listen for the Word of God to you. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went with Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them all that he had said in these things that he told her. May God bless this reading of his holy word to us today. Would you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A friend of mine who is about my age likes to tell the story about what happened in the church that she grew up in at Easter time. They always had an Easter egg hunt, and it was the same type of thing every year. Now, you have to remember that this was the time before plastic eggs were used for Easter egg hunts. And so the folks in the church would hard boil this massive amount of eggs. Everyone would get together to dye them and to decorate them. It was kind of an old-timey, wonderful affair. And then a few folks in the church would hide the eggs in the church lawn, and they would make sure that the kids had fun finding them. The kids would go and they would find the eggs, and then they would get prizes, you know, prizes for the most eggs found, prizes for the youngest participant, that kind of thing. Well, one year, things went a little awry. You see, the pastor's kids had hit their teenage years, and they thought that they would have a little fun and do a little bit of a prank. And so what they did is they got some black magic markers. This is a true story. They got some black magic markers. They went to find a few of the eggs on the lawn. They wrote some delightful words, if you know what I mean, and messages on the eggs. And then they put the eggs back in their hiding places. Well, the day of the hunt came. Everyone was having a good time. And lo and behold, wouldn't you know, there were some eyes as big as saucers when some of those eggs were found. I mean, these were words and messages that you wouldn't want to share in polite company. They were written on the eggs for shock value. I hope that when they read what was on there, it wasn't a public recital or anything. And imagine, though, the teens' surprise when they were soon nailed as the culprit. I think it was a case of the parents really knowing their kids pretty well, and I'm sure their reputation as preacher's kids had preceded them. But you know, the youngins, they fessed up. Good for them. But how embarrassing for the pastor of that congregation. Oh, yes, it was a crazy, crazy prank. But you know, I think the story that I've just told you picks up a little bit on some of the dis-ease that some of us feel on Easter. And it's not that our Easter baskets aren't filled with all the things that they should be filled with. I mean, we're here this morning. We're celebrating with wonderful, wonderful music. You heard a scripture that was read, and it's been read for so many centuries. We have the beauty of the lilies that surround us, and all of that is so wonderful. But there's also the stuff that's a little hard to fess up to, right? I mean, maybe there are some feelings of doubt or fear, maybe insecurities, maybe some thoughts that, you know, just don't jive with the goodness that we have in our baskets. We may label those feelings and those thoughts as lack of faith. We may label them as doubts and insecurities about the whole story of Jesus' resurrection, especially as we seem to be expected to believe it from the scriptures. Maybe we have some feelings because of the way it was taught to us long ago in Sunday school, or maybe our parents really didn't do an adequate job of handling all of our questions. Or maybe we know about so much hatred in our world and the awful, awful things that we see. We want to have hope. We want to have hope in Jesus' resurrection that proclaims so much wonderful good. But the bad stuff, it just seems to eat away at our hearts. So here is what I want to leave you with today. I want you to know that whatever you see in your Easter basket, whatever you feel like your basket contains this morning, The problem isn't with what's in there. The problem is the size of the basket that you use to contain it all. Because there is a basket big enough to contain it all. For purposes of analogy, let's just say this basket is from the store called Doubts and Questions and Sadness and Fears and Faith and Confidence and Joy, all acceptable here. That's simply a really long name for one title, God's Eternal Love. Nothing is going to change that love, nothing. And what you struggle with, you know, the dots that you just can't connect, or the way that you feel like everything has to be sorted out in a way that meets your individual stamp of approval from your vantage point, from all the varied experiences that you have had, from your particular moment in all of history. You know, all of that, yes, has such importance to you. And we can't deny that it doesn't. But our confidence, and I say this whether you are a seeker or you are as faithful as the Pope himself, our confidence ultimately doesn't rest in what is incumbent for us to figure out. It rests in one and only one place, God's eternal love. What is incumbent upon us is to have hearts that are willing to be open to God's eternal love, God's resurrection power. I mean, they're really, really one and the same as you think about it. And we hear that love as it is spoken through a very ancient story. An ancient story about new and undying life, which always surprises, sparkling and new, undying life that God's eternal love continually brings forth, no matter how difficult the circumstances, right? No matter how confused we are. Because that's just what is so amazing about this love. It always brings forth and brings forth and brings forth and brings forth. And this new and undying life that it brings forth, it's given to us each and every day and also beyond. This basket, okay, of eternal love is so big, it can contain all the eggs that you put in it. It can contain because that's what it does. It can't be contained. It only contains. And if we pay really, really close attention to our lives, can we see that our doubts and our fears, all of that is just part of the journey that we have that helps us eventually navigate into opening up our hearts so that we can see the new life and the goodness that is around us? Even when the ways of death are just too numerous to count. The accounts of Jesus' resurrection that we have in our scriptures, well, we have to remember that There are many accounts, as I said earlier, and all of them have significant differences. They just do. And any biblical scholar will explain how that is important for us to recognize right off the bat. So what all this means, though, is it is important for us to get at the deepest meaning. For the deepest meaning is all about that eternal love. These stories, they move us to open up our hearts, to open up our hearts for this caring love and this carrying love. No weight is too much for it. Not even just the weight of a big, old, massive stone that covers up a tomb. What I love about the version, though, of the Easter story that we have for us today is the portrayal of Mary Magdalene and how she represents all of our personal struggles, all that, you know, we have to deal with as we try to embrace this heart sensibility of God's eternal love, which, remember, can also mean God's resurrection power. For her, Easter begins with a big-time fear. I love that Michael talked about fear in his children's time today, because fear is often a starting point for all of us. And Mary Magdalene, she has feelings of overwhelming, tragic loss, indescribable loss. She goes to the tomb, and there's no Jesus. And she doesn't simply shed a few tears. You know, they don't just sort of roll down her face. The scripture says that she stays in the garden weeping. And I picture her just sobbing uncontrollably, filled with such utter anguish. And this part of the story, I believe, is so true to us and to what we go through in life. I mean, It's a scene that's reenacted again and again and again, reenacted in hospital rooms, reenacted in nursing homes, reenacted in poverty-stricken towns, in refugee camps. This kind of loss is as real as it gets. And it's as real as what it means to be a human being. Then notice this, okay? Mary fails to see Jesus moments later when he's standing right in front of her. And don't our eyes get clouded over with the bad so that we have such a hard and difficult time seeing the good? She sees who she thinks is the gardener. You know, she's got it partially right, in a sense. Gardeners are all about cultivating new life. There's such a beautiful, beautiful theme here that's so important to the arc of the story. A theme that the Chilean poet Pablo Neruda has put actually in some beautiful words. You can pick all the flowers, but you can't stop the spring. I want you to pay special attention to the next part of the story. Mary does not see Jesus because Jesus tells her his name. Instead, she finally recognizes him because he calls out to her, her name. He calls her by name. We can be told a whole bunch of stuff, but hearing our name, that's just something different. It means something different to us. He calls her by name, and she suddenly gets it. Rabboni, Rabboni, she says. out of our bereavement, out of our loss, out of what feels like in disarray to us and feels so nonsensical, even desperate. There is one who, out of eternal love, calls us by name, engages us, beckons us to have a different set of eyes, eyes of deep recognition rather than confusion and fear. It is the deep recognition that we are utterly cared for. We will never, ever be abandoned, no matter what. Ultimately, death doesn't even get a word in edgewise. Right? Life forever and always trumps death, hands down. The Easter basket of eternal love is just that big. Just that unfathomably big. Awesomely big, without end big. Yesterday on my phone, a calendar reminder popped up which read, Easter, tomorrow, press for more. I felt like my phone had kind of a sense of humor. I mean, really, I didn't actually know that. But I liked the press for more. When it comes to Easter, there is always more than we can ever imagine. Again, God's basket of love is just that big. May God bless the word that he had for us today. Amen. Let us pray. Ever-living God, help us open up our hearts. Our heads may be full of so much. Sometimes it feels like we can't make heads or tails of life. But you are the one that carries us. You are the one that reaches out in eternal love and calls us by name. May we see beyond what is bad to the ultimate good, for that love is everlasting and will not abandon us in this life and surely not in the next. We thank you this day. In Christ's name, amen.